That spoken introduction to the choir anthem reminded me of the drive from Newinton to here. I was listening to Michael Enright, and he was speaking about the significant life of Viktor Frankl, who was a psychiatrist in Europe, who was also, he was imprisoned at that time, and how it affected his whole life. And he would have also spoken words like this. I don't have very much to say what goes on in different congregations, but I certainly hope that you as a congregation give thanks at the end of every day or worship for the significant number of children that you have in your worship service. As a retired minister in the United Church, and having before that been in the Mennonite Church Canada for many years, I guess I take on certain privileges in terms of how I preach or whatever, because after all, who's going to fire me? And by the time you've taken a vote, I will be quite a few miles away anyway. But I don't want to come across as being irresponsible, because I hope I never will be. But there is something different about today's sermon in the sense that you're right in assuming that when you hear a sermon, that it's probably based on the Holy Scriptures. And this one is too. However, I came at it a different way. I'm a great admirer of many people, and one of them is Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R. He's written some very wonderful books. He has influenced me very deeply. He is a Roman Catholic priest in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and his writings are so international and so crosses all of the lines of denominations. And every morning when I open my computer, the first message that I get is from the Center for Action and Contemplation that he writes for. That's his central program there. And one day I opened it, a number of months ago, and there was this paragraph, just a sentence, wasn't even a paragraph, and part of which you see in your bulletin. And I was struck by it. And I thought about it some more, and I kept going back to it. And then I realized it wasn't Richard Rohr, but he was quoting a friend of his and a co-worker, James Finley. And so when I look at the sermon that I was going to do, or that I'm going to do, and what I needed to back up was to study the scriptures. And the ones that I'm going to read at this time, unless one of the rest of you are coming up to read, but what the scripture passages that I chose for today are just two of many, many ones that would shore up this statement by James Finley. And that statement is, if we are absolutely grounded in the absolute love of God, which protects us from nothing, even while it sustains us in all things, then we will have the courage and the tenderness to touch the hurting places of others and ourselves in love. And so I read from Psalms, the 15th Psalm. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? Whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. And then we go to Mark's Gospel in chapter 12, and the passage is headlined, The Great Commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noting that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which one is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Let me repeat again the quotation that stirred me, written by James Finley. If we are absolutely grounded in the absolute love of God, which can protect us from nothing, even while it sustains us in all things, will give you courage and tenderness to touch the hurting places of others and yourself. In love. To hear someone say, if we are absolutely grounded in the absolute love of God, is not a new phrase to you. We've heard it many times. Do you remember the little Sunday school ditty that we sang, or maybe in vacation Bible school, about the foolish man who built his house upon the sand? And the winds came and the rain, the waters came and eventually washed the house away. And the second verse was, a wise man built his house upon a rock. And the winds and the waters came with violence and they couldn't wash it away. Those of you in trades will know what it means to be grounded. Whether you're an electrician, you know that the electrical system that goes into any building has to be properly grounded for the reasons of safety and to function as what it was supposed to do. If you are a contractor, you know that a house is not built on sand, but there needs to be a very solid foundation. And that foundation needs to be on proper footings. And we have too many illustrations in our day and age of buildings that were not built on proper foundation. And so it is also in our spiritual journey. Paul Tillich, a German theologian, a very profound one who has influenced many people, in his own description of God, referred to God as the ground of all being. And that's where we fit in. if we are absolutely grounded in the absolute love of God. And it is not for me to say to you, you are not properly grounded. We may have that observation at times because of the inconsistencies or the contradictions in the way the person or I would live. But we're not here to judge. So it's something that each one of us needs to wrestle with. What does it mean to be absolutely grounded in the absolute love of God? There's no organization that we need to have. We do not need to elect a committee to work this out. Because the love of God, the absolute love of God, is what it is. It is intact, it has always been there, and it always will be. But how do we access it? That is something that you and each one of us needs to avail ourselves of, so that we can move from where we are at this point to somewhere else. I was fortunate enough many years ago to be sent to Washington, D.C. and also to Maryland for a one-week workshop. And it was all run by the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. That's the church that has a sign on its outside the door. It says, Headquarters of the Church of the Savior. And inevitably people say, oh, there are other churches. I said, no, this is just the headquarters. The church is the people out there. And for you, it's the ones who have come here to worship this morning. But the workshop leaders told us that in the history of that congregation, to become a member of that congregation, you must commit yourself to 15 minutes of prayer a day. And then they leave it at that. But they say if after a year or so you find that you're still only spending 15 minutes in prayer, then you probably need to do some reassessment. Because if we're adequately grounded, absolutely grounded, then we probably are always yearning and striving for more. It is something that we need to receive, that wonderful phenomenon is ours to have. To come to that place of being absolutely grounded will require deliberate and focused energy on us, not to create it, not to build it, not to describe it, but simply to receive it. It is there to be received. There's no room for chance or lackadaisical intentions on our part. We need to focus in, what is it that I need from this love of God, absolute love of God for my way of life? And in our congregations, whether this one or De Winton, every congregation, all the programs and all the activities should ideally be geared toward each one of us, from a youngest child to the oldest person, to be able to be completely grounded in this love of God. And you will have said so far, well, yeah, that makes sense. I can resonate with that. But how were you with that phrase from the writings of James Finley when he says, the absolute love of God which can protect you from nothing? Did that startle you? Now, beautiful way, it continues. The rest of the sentence is, it protects you from nothing, even while it sustains you in all things. Some years ago, in fact, February of 2005, in my process of becoming recognized as a minister within the United Church, I needed to take 5 courses. And I could do 3 of them in that short period of time in Saskatoon at St. Andrew's College. And the professor announced to us, or the leaders said, that you don't need to come back for this last Saturday morning because we have finished our agenda. So I got up really early, and I was at that time living in, working in the church in Kimberley, B.C., but I had been staying at my sister's place in Saskatoon. And I got up very early, and I headed off to the Paw, Manitoba, where my son and his partner and the little one-month-old baby had just moved, where he was going to be managing the store. And I wanted to see them. And so I drove further away from Kimberley instead of going home. It was a beautiful, cold winter day, and I was enjoying myself thoroughly and just enjoying the beauty of nature. And I came into Manitoba and heading north there, and there was so much snow, but the highway was clear and dry and everything. And I was scooting along the highway. And I noticed that I was getting sleepy. And I thought, it's time to watch for an approach where I can pull over, and I am one of those that can just sit back comfortably, and I'll be asleep within the first minute, and 10 minutes later I'll probably be quite refreshed. So I was thinking about that as I was driving, but there were no approaches to be seen. And all of a sudden I was startled to a new awareness with all this sound of snow crashing against the windshield and the side of the car, and I realized that I was out of control in something like something you would call snow. And it had these wide ditches and then forest. And so I came to an abrupt stop without any noise or anything. I just came to an abrupt stop. I wasn't even thrown against the steering wheel. And I looked around. I realized that I had lost control of my car because I had fallen asleep. And a very foolish person I was, that when I realized that I was getting sleepy, I didn't cancel the cruise control. So there I was, and I had a hard time getting my door open because I was in deep snow. But I was able to, and I reached in to get my parka, and there was a car waiting for me to come to walk through the deep snow. And so I drove to, they said they would take me to the next town, which where I could get a tow truck. Interestingly enough, I was half an hour away from my destination. But anyway, the next day or so when I was driving around with Roy and Carrie, he would say to me, "Dad, was this the kind of ditch that you hit?" And I said, "No way." I said, look at those boulders. I said, "I didn't hit anything like that. I could have ruined my car, and I would have been my demise as well." I said, "No, I hit snow, and it just brought me to a sudden stop with about 4 inches of snow packed against my radiator." And then when I drove home the next few days back to Kimberley, every so often I would realize that I'd had that experience. It didn't throw me, it didn't upset me, but it did cause me to reflect. And I thought, gee, I wouldn't want to go in the ditch here because that would ruin my car. And also maybe my life would come to an end. So when I arrived there and I would tell people, they were very caring, but they would also make some interesting theological statements. They'd say, "Well, obviously, God loves you very much and has saved you for something." And I said, "No, I don't think God loves me any more than anyone else." It's just like when we have a horrendous motor vehicle incident and some people are killed and people are so relieved that they weren't in that car or were not injured. And this went on. And it was my financial advisor who told me over the phone when he asked me what I'd been up to. When I told him, and he said in his own, I don't think he went to worship anywhere, But he said, well, obviously, Henry, God isn't finished with you yet. And that was almost more likely, made more sense to me. I would also tell you the story of Hans and Yeti. They were members of the congregation in Kimberley. And one day in our morning worship service, the matter of prayer requests came up. And they came up and they spoke to the congregation. And they informed us that Hans's brain tumor had gone out of control and that he was shortly thereafter going to start losing control of his thinking and his behavior. And so I said to him afterwards, I said, Hans, would you like us to put you on the prayer train that goes around? And he said, yeah, I think so. Mind you, he said, oh, it depends on what you're going to pray for. And I thought, well, what's this all about? I'm making you a very rich offer, and you're questioning it. And he said, well, if you're going to pray to that God should reverse that whole diagnosis that's been going on for the last two years, then I don't need those prayers. But he said, if you're going to pray that I would be able to have the strength and the deep faith and the peace to face what I am going to have to face, then bring it on. And it was also about 2 weeks later, a lady from the community who was part of the North Star Quilting Guild that made quilts for people who had cancer diagnosis. She said, I understand you have this gentleman in your church. And I said, that's right. And she said, well, you know where he lives and who he is. Would you deliver this quilt to him? I said, I would be honored to do so. So I drove to Cranbrook on another occasion, and I went to their house, as I had often done. I rang the doorbell, and no response. So I went around the back just to check. Sure enough, there were Hans and Yeti were sitting on their deck. Their son from Fernie and his wife and the children were there. And they were surprised to see me and greeted me. And I said, Hans, I have this special responsibility and honor to present you with this quilt from the Quilting Guild in Kimberley as an expression of best wishes for you and to give you warmth and comfort as you have to live with your cancer. That's what he meant. He had an awareness that God wasn't going to protect him from his cancer, as much as we wish God would. But he was asking, if you're going to pray that I would be sustained through all this experience, then yes. Now those of us who live in High River, and I know the rest of you wish you did, but just before Easter, we had a horrendous week of deaths. I don't know, it was one of those where it really hits. Just like in the beginning of the week, there, if you looked at the Calgary Herald, you will have seen 3 full pages of obituaries. That means there are a lot of hurting people around, right? Well, in High River, on one weekend, one of our farmers was simply going out to feed his cattle. And he was going along the road from one yard to the other with his tractor and with the feed grinder behind. And someone else coming for, not on purpose, but smashed into that feed grinder from behind at considerable speed, I guess, or ordinary speed. But enough that caused the tractor to it jackknifed and tipped the tractor, and he died at the young age of 63. He was father of a husband, a father, a grandfather, a son of his father's 92, and a very beloved and member of the choir and of the whole congregation of the Christian Reformed Church. And they were really startled. as also the farmers were. As an older farmer friend of mine said, you know, it's a quiet week for us farmers, because we know that we live with these potential dangers. And so God wasn't there to protect, or that wasn't the issue. But I'm told on that Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, there were over 550 people were at that funeral. And the three adult children had apparently spoke so eloquently of their father and the deep faith expression of God has sustained us through all of this. And we have so much to be thankful for. So that's what James Finley has said. If we are absolutely grounded in the absolute love of God, which will protect us, which protects us from nothing, but which, even while it sustains us in all things. Goes on to say, then we will have the courage and tenderness to touch the hurting places of others and ourselves with love. And I'm astounded. I don't know if I have a short memory or what, but it seems to me, and I've been around for a few years, as you can see, but it's I'm not sure that our international scene has been in such a mess as it is now. And we have our problems in our communities and in our country and our challenges. But there's such lack of love for one another, or for one race, a respect to one race of another, or nationalities. It's really quite horrendous. And somehow we are here in the midst of that. Just stop to think of the thousands, I guess millions, of refugees that have been tramping across from one country to the other, trying to get away from a nation, their home nation, that is killing them and destroying them and depriving them of a good life. And in the last week, we were told that those people were now being sent back because the countries are not able, are overwhelmed in terms of taking them in. But it's that kind of a it's that kind of a milieu that you and I in 2016 are living in. How do we allow our courage and tenderness to reach out into the lives of people? It may not be as big and horrendous as the refugee situation. It may be something that's happening right in this community, right in this community of faith, that sometimes we are very strong, but sometimes we need to share our strength. Next time we are the weaker ones and need to receive it. But this is where the congregation as a community of faith can show its true colors. And I'm moved when I hear that there's an information meeting about the refugee family that you and Red Deer Lake Church and the United Church in the Valley are going to sponsor. Now, Jean Vanier, the son of one of our former governor generals, was a man who was very well educated. But all of a sudden, he felt that he needed to give very specific expression to his faith, let it flow out. And so he started what is now known as the L'Arche Communities, a phenomenal organization that's in many, many countries of the world. And basically, just one feature of that is it's a ministry to people whose lives are compromised in some way. They are challenged, and some of them very severely challenged mentally and physically. And in his program at the L'Arche Communities, an employee or volunteer is paired off with one of them. It's a beautiful way. You can almost sense the love of God flowing through that situation. Henry Nouwen, who died too young as well, was a Roman Catholic priest, and he taught at Harvard and at Yale. But he wasn't finding adequate fulfillment. And he went to work for a while at the L'Arche community. There he was, a trained theologian and philosopher. But he tells in some of his books what he learned from those people that he was working with. In fact, he had been a teacher and a speaker around the whole world. But in terms of the rules of that organization, he was not able to accept a speaking engagement, no matter where it was, unless he had one of the residents with him. And they had to be part of the program. In other words, he was able to speak and they did it such a beautiful way together that he in turn was ministered to. This Jean Vanier said some time ago, "The church is always renewed when it identifies with the poor and others in need." As a Christian church, we can't take that phrase out of our program, our mission statement, or whatever it is. It is there as a result of the absolute love of God. We are invited, we are urged to do whatever we need to do for ourselves individually and to encourage others and be encouraged by others to let that absolute love of God flow through us and into the lives of other people. May God bless you richly as you continue to review and look at your life. You are entitled to live it even more fully. Let us go on to having time of silent prayer and the lighting of prayer candles.